This is Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean. And we're asking, are you a classy cabbie or a dirty old dog? If you think you're a classy cabbie, maybe you have a story to tell and you don't mind us digging out your past, then get in touch by emailing us at newcabclass@gmail.com. Gotta love it. That's Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Cab Class, the brand new podcast for the taxi trade. In this show we speak to your favourite taxi drivers and find out a bit about their life and also if they're classy cabbies or dirty dogs. Right, thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the London Taxi Radio YouTube channel. Don't forget also you can find us on Twitter at Cab Class. And also on any of your podcast providers. Just look it up under London Taxi Radio. You find us there, plus all the other stuff that Sean does. It's all there. Anyway, I'm Gary, one of your hosts. Next to me is my old mucker, Chelsea Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, how are you? We're out of our comforts. We're at a new destination today.
This is proper cab driver belt, isn't it? We're here. I've just passed the house with three cabs outside. They've got to feed a rank to get onto their drive. what an area.
We're in Longchurch and there was a green up.
There's so many black cabs, unbelievable.
This is how
they say in London, you're never more than, is it 6 feet from a rat? It's got to be the same in Longchurch for a cab. It's got to be, isn't it?
This is what I call, it's like council estate millionaire territory. Yeah, everyone who sold their council drum in the 90s moved out here.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Bought a nice plot of land.
Yeah, this is a cab driver belt. Can you hear that lady in here? Can you hear the lady?
Oh, no, we've got a lady cabbie today. Oh, no, very interesting.
Not talking about me, are you?
No, we're talking about not one who wants to be a lady, a proper lady.
Hello, Sean, how are you, mate?
All right, how you doing? I'm very drawn to this place. I mean, this looks like RuPaul's Drag Race. Done it. It does. You've got glittery frocks.
Well, we're in
the
our
blue one's lovely.
I just tell you, paint a bit of a picture. We're in our guest today's photography studio, which we'll touch on a bit later. But for now, Sean, right? So, TfL have appealed the appeal.
I think people are losing the plot a little bit. I don't think we should run away with ourselves. I mean, what they've done, they have won the chance of an appeal, but now they've got to get it past the gatekeeper to get an appeal. So there's that obstacle. And then they've got to appeal. And I think we're a bit unrealistic to think that they won't appeal. But I still think the challenges facing TfL are insurmountable. I think they're too great. I mean, they can't pretend that they pay due regard to the public sector equality duty. By default, they put in these measures and use COVID to do it. They rush them through. They didn't put in the proper scrutinising processes. So I absolutely think the challenges facing them are too great. But we'll have to wait and see. That's where we're at. But I've got to give an apology to Lewis. I've got to apologise to him big time. I'm always tapping away when I'm on Twitter, you know, I'm tapping away, and I accidentally unfollowed him. And a second later, I got a message from him saying that I'd unfollowed him.
He was really upset.
Lewis is a guest we had a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He's a friend of the show. We love Lewis.
I think that's why he said he loved me as well, openly, on Twitter. Okay, yeah. And I had to say I was feeling it. The love, that is.
But don't forget, Sean, you've been hacked. You was hacked.
I was hacked big time.
That's mad.
Big time. I was messaging everybody that I'd got a new number. And so anybody that called my number was calling Delhi on a premium rate. One of my mates did say in the room, he said, Sean Paul Day never returns your call and now he's messaging everybody.
Oh no.
I think that's quite an honour to be hacked, you know, to have a stalker or to be hacked. You've sort of made it.
Didn't see it that way.
No?
Well, there's one or two people. There's about five people got hacked over the weekend. And I will say this, just as a precaution, do a double verification check on your WhatsApp. You can go into the settings. You can give another code that you have to put in, so if they are able to get into it, they will have to put in a second code before they can access your WhatsApp. So it's worth doing, and you put in your an email address as well, that they will contact you if they think there's any untoward behavior going on. Do it, because I was hacked, about five other people was hacked, and now we're all, you know, having holidays in Goa. Do you know what I mean?
And you upset Lewis. What week you then?
Lewis, yeah, I don't want to. I can't upset Lewis, you know, and I'm feeling the love, Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
Come
yeah.
back on the show, I'll make it up to you.
Have we got a guest this week?
Yeah, Harry? And you might have might have just heard her in the background. I'd like to, I'm very pleased to introduce, put your hands together for Donna Ground, formerly known as Donna Ewing. Hello Donna, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for inviting me.
No, thank you for having us.
That's alright.
We were really chuffed when you,
first,
you said you're
our first lady.
Oh wow, that, well I don't know about that, I'm a, yeah. A lady in, you know, but not, yeah,
the
but I am,
lady.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure.
The
thank
reason
you.
We asked you, Don, is you've got such an interesting backstory. Can you go back to where it all started? So you grew up in Bethnal Green?
Yeah, I grew up in Bethnal Green, as they call the good old days, you know.
No front door, knew the
craze. Knew the craze, no front door, you know, cup of sugar and
made
all that. And and yeah, I went to Morpher School, which is... just off of Roman Road,
So, what? How old was you? And was it your first job when you first got into modelling?
I went to the London College of Fashion for fashion modelling, but a few things grew. So I got a bit older and whatever, you know. And
what age are we talking here?
17. Yeah. So I left Morpeth and then I went to the London College of Fashion.
In
fashion
what idea? Modeling. What would you want to get into?
I don't know. Do you know what? I left school and I didn't know what I wanted to do, to be honest. And if I had the qualifications, I would love to have been a vet or a, you know, something along them lines.
But, sad, isn't it? We all leave school at 16 expected to know what we want to do.
I know. To be honest, I mean, cab driver, I still would like to do so. I still don't know what I want to do. I'm 51 nearly. Anyway, so I went to London College of Fashion and then that was like a year's course. I left there and then I was just doing bits and pieces, and a friend of mine had a restaurant down in the city, down Bow Lane, and I used to work in there for a bit doing the restaurants and that, and used to work in local pubs and whatever. Yeah, just bits and pieces
and
to see me by.
And was you spotted?
Well, people said when I was that age, you know, you should do modelling, blah, blah, blah. And then, as I say, a few things grew and I couldn't be a fashion model. And
Not the right shape.
Yes. So I wasn't the right shape. I was a pretty shapely. And so somebody said, you know, try the Page 3 type. So I joined an agency and sort of went from there, really. But my dad was horrified.
Yeah, that's something I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
So once you start, so you've got into, they put you forward for Page 3, is that how it works?
Yeah, I've done a few little bits and pieces with one agency that wasn't so great. And then I went out onto a better agency. And they put me forward for Page 3 and like obviously put me forward for lots of things like, and summer underwear catalogues and calendars and stuff
so
like that.
What was the word when you got home? What did your dad say?
Oh, wow. Well, when he sort of sees some pictures that weren't in Page 3, he was mortified.
What sort of pictures were you talking?
Well, sort of glamour pictures, but, you know, some maybe, whatever. But anyway, so he was, because he thought, oh, she's not going to get anywhere, you know, like they've got these photographers taking pictures, blah, blah, blah.
Worried about his daughter.
Worried about me, yeah, of course. But then, of course, when
was
I became...
Was it a secret for a while? Did you tell him what you was doing?
It wasn't a secret, no. But because I hadn't been in anything, it wasn't like something that I would sort of go home to tell him or whatever, you know.
You
weren't
running and going, Dad,
Yeah, exactly. It was just a few bits and bobs, you know, for like amateur photographers, and they just take
pictures
for my...
Yeah. What were we looking at age-wise?
Well, I started when I was about 17, and then 18 you can actually do.
Do you think
want.
That was too young?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, there was certain photos that, like, that's a sad story. Where I got basically manipulated when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Can't see nothing, can't see this, can't see that, blah, blah, blah.
You was taking advantage of?
Taking advantage of as a 17-year-old. And there was literally one picture of me when I was crying. So that's very sad, right?
When I think of a 17-year-old girl, I don't think
it's
of a
baby.
Woman.
No.
I think of a kid.
I know.
And did you have an agent then? I mean, well, no, this was who could you lean on to say
this was the little agency that I was with that I just thought, oh, you know, you've joined an agency. You don't know at the time what they're like. You know, oh, it's an agency. You know, I'll do these photos and they'd show me pictures of, like, Page Three girls that was in these, you know, nude but not really seeing a lot.
Yeah.
Right? They'll be showed abroad and whatever. I mean, you won't see them. Right, blah, blah, blah. But look, all these Page Three girls do it, right? So I'm like, right. So they took the... So I was at Fulham. I remember it's Fulham Palace Road. That was where I went. And I had these pictures done. There was like three people there, the photographer, the makeup artist and the...
And like, what had you been told this was for?
I was told it was for like something like Playboy, but abroad.
Yeah.
I wasn't told that it was for anything. It was a classy...
Yeah.
Men's magazine,
yeah,
right. And basically, he said, yeah, you know, as I say, show me all these pictures of other girls that I was in awe of, you know, it's only be sold there, blah blah blah, you know. Blah, blah. So, anyway, then I joined a bigger agency, much better. They dealt with all the Page Three and all that. So, I'd done these photos, which obviously I've kind of forgotten about, they was for abroad, blah blah blah. So we, so this bigger agency got me onto Page Three
in the Sun, and
when
was this done? 80s?
Yeah, so 88, I think.
Would you say this was like the prime time for Page Three?
Yeah,
this
is when you had
the real big sort of stars coming out, which
you
was one of, really.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I look back now, I'm like, you know, people put my stuff on YouTube, like on my TV stuff, and I'm like, wow, you know,
yeah.
I look at it now and I think, bloody hell, well, I didn't realise at the time.
People like, so who are we talking, Linda Lusardi?
She was a little bit before me, bit so before, we had Maria Whittaker.
But these are still big names today.
Yeah, Maria Whittaker and Kathy Lloyd. Sam Fox was a little bit before me, Linda Lusardi, Kathy Lloyd. Kathy Lloyd was more my sort of era, yeah. Maria Whittaker, Dana Goodman.
It's not unusual though, is it, for 17-year-olds to do glamour modelling?
No, but really, you shouldn't do it until you're 18.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have a license, a signature from your mum and dad. Now that's what I'm getting onto, right? So anyway, so then I was in the Page Three and all that, you know, oh wow, and couldn't believe it. I remember I was in my bear at the time with the agent, and I looked at this, and I was in Page Three, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, bloody hell,
yeah.
God, I'm in Page Three, and
happy.
I was thinking, you know. Did anyone recognise me now, you know, and all that, and anyway, as it goes on, I'm getting more sort of work and stuff, and then this photographer, brilliant photographer, English photographer, Byron Newman, and he works a lot for American Playboy, German Playboy, and everything, you know, so I got to meet him, and he said, Donna, you'd be great as a centrefold, he said, you'd be amazing, have you done any work before? You know, obviously, you know, like glamour stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Not topless, but have you, you know.
Full nudes.
Full nudes, yeah. And all that. And I said, no, you know. And then, obviously, and then he sort of went, if you don't, because I will put you forward for American Centrefold, and, you know, you will be quite famous, and you'll get 50 grand for
wow.
it. So I was like, wow. Anyway, so then, obviously, I've had to tell him I've done these photos, and... That
these ones are
lost,
surfaced.
Yeah.
Ah.
But as you got more famous,
as
they come
out. As I got more famous, they come out, right? So, like, so literally, I lost 50 grand from that, for being a centrefold, which I don't know how many girls in England have been centrefolds in America, but there's not that many. Yeah, exactly. And, so what I was saying is, yeah, so of course I've become famous, Page Three. Now, these photos have come out, right, that were only supposed to be for thingy. You couldn't hardly see anything for abroad, right, that I thought I signed a form for abroad only. But, so, yeah, so that sort of knocked the 50 grand on the head, right? And so now all these photos have come out everywhere.
Where are they being published?
Oh, Club, Penthouse and all that. Right, so
all you see,
listen,
sort of top shelf mates.
Yeah,
yeah,
awful, right? So the form that I can't bloody even remember the names of the forms now, but you used to have to sign a model release form.
Yeah.
Now, when I had them photos done, I was, when he actually signed the model release form for when I would have been 18, I was 17. All right, I think it might have been in the March, but I was still 17 when he took them photos. He signed the model release form for July. My birthday's in June.
Yeah.
So I would have been 18, right? But I was in Turkey when he signed that model release form on that date, and I could prove it that I was there. I went to a solicitor and said, like, you know, like, and he said, well, really, obviously I'd lost that. He said, but for you to do it, he said, it's not really going to, it's going to cost you thousands and thousands of pounds.
Yeah, you're going to have to get someone to
write. I'm going to have to get somebody to write. And really, I know you've obviously lost the centrefold thing, but they still haunt me now, because as much as people probably don't believe, right, probably much as people don't believe, you sit with a camera and you think you're not seeing anything, all they need to do is bend down or get up and you can see the lot.
Got it, yeah. Right? And you don't realise they're shooting.
And I didn't realise. Yeah.
You were duped, weren't you? You were duped.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't do them after that. No, I did, no. But it was under my discretion, and it was, I knew what I was doing.
And at the right age.
These ones, one of them, you could see me crying. Mm. And these photos still surface now, and people go, oh, because they think they don't know what happened. And it kind of haunts me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not what I want, you know. I mean, as I say, I done Playboy after I nude. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that's a big difference.
I think we all get where you're coming from. At that time, was you still living back in Bethnal Green?
Yeah, yeah, so
You was walking around knowing people had seen these pictures.
Yeah, it was. I mean, not a lot of people said about them ones, because they might not have wanted to say that they've seen them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That bought it, but... You know, but
there was no internet then, was there?
So no, you would have been. No, there wasn't. Yeah. So obviously, you know, not as far as I'm concerned, only a few people bought it, and they never said anything to me.
Okay, so it wasn't thrown in your face.
No, it wasn't. But there was, you know, that was the real downfall, and it's just, you know, and there's people still out there now taking advantage, you know, of young girls.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's.
Well, we'll touch on a bit on what advice you'd give to these young girls. But moving forward now, so you're regularly doing page three. Are you earning good money? What's the lifestyle now?
Right. So I should want to be on a pink cloud and blah blah blah. But it wasn't like that.
Was the glitz and glamour smoke screen?
The glitz and glamour smoke screen.
Yeah.
I was going to Stringfellas, coming home in a cab, quite often, and going back to my council flat, and literally just about having enough
money.
Sitting
down
in
having
pocket.
Spaghetti on toast.
Yeah, yeah. Or going down Mylene Road.
Would it be a contract with the Sun or the Mirror, or was you paid every time you
appeared? No, I was paid every time I appeared. Yeah. So literally, you're probably chins dropping. I was paid £80 for page three.
No way.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No way.
Right, but that was 2 hours work. So that would be down in Clerkenwell, Baldwin Gardens, photographer Beverly Goodway. So we'd go 2 hours work, but we'd have to do our own makeup, supply our own bits and pieces. Obviously not a lot, but you know, and then the agency would take 20% commission. And then obviously you had to pay tax as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably 70 quid.
And you're not going to be appearing, once a month in the paper?
Yeah, once a month. So you do that in the start, and then, you know, so...
But they allowed you to work for other papers.
Yeah, yeah. So we would work. Yeah, so you'd work the Star, the Mirror at the time, and bits and pieces. And then I would do Ann Summers, underwear, and I'd get jobs abroad. You know, like Seychelles, and doing calendar work and stuff like that. You go away for a week and earn like 1,500 quid.
I mean,
and we're talking like 30 years ago, so that was quite a lot of money. But I wouldn't work every day.
Yeah.
Right, so I might work once a week. And then I might get a job to, you know, a calendar job, say a grand or whatever. But then I wouldn't get a job for another week. So it wasn't all the time.
Is it a bit like, you know, like Vogue does this blanket payment of like £100? But the prestige of modelling for Vogue is a platform to springboard from. Is it a bit like that?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But, I mean, when you say it's working 2 hours, yeah, it is, because then people see you, because then I was getting known in Germany, and then I'd done German Playboy, and then I'd done, like... God, they even asked me to do a song. asked me to sing, and I told them I can't sing.
Yeah. Well, Sam Fox can't sing, but she did all right.
No, honestly, yeah, yeah. I'm worse than that. I'm more Chaz and Dave, honestly. Oh, God. So, yeah, so shall I speak about that? My song?
Yeah.
Maybe we can play it. So, oh, my God. You know, right, so anyway.
In German?
No, it was in English. They said to me, right, no, I can't, I know. They said to me, right, so I was quite well known in Germany. So this company said, look, you know, we'd like you to sing. I said, I can't sing. I told my agency, I cannot sing, right? I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to go there. No, yeah,
it's not something you're going fake, is it?
No, they can do wonders, right, with your voice. Off I go to Germany. Dusseldorf was the main part that I used to go. So I went there, and they wanted me to sing one of the worst songs. There was a house in New Orleans.
Brilliant.
Right? Yeah, great. Lovely song.
You try and sing it.
Oh my God. There is a house. It was
terrible. Oh, you're not
that bad. You can't sing.
Oh, pay off. God, it was terrible. And I got in the studio.
Do you know what? I'd give a week's wages to hear that.
Honestly, no, really? Oh, yeah, at the minute you would, wouldn't you?
Why is there this beautiful lady, glamour model? Singing why they want to hear you sing?
They just want anything they can.
They just wanted, me to do a song and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, you know, and then.
Would you say
that that is really very good song to sing, is it?
No, not with your voice.
No, yeah. Oh, get out of it.
Would you say this is the height of your career now? Do you think? Is this when you really
peaked?
What sort of age are we talking?
20, 19,
still
20.
Very young.
Yeah, it is. I know.
When I left school, I started working in print at the Daily Mirror, and you used to have photos taken on the floor there, and you were like watching film stars coming up as a young lad.
Yeah.
So I have met you before.
Wait a minute, how old are you? You're not a young. You was a young lad.
Yeah, I was there. I'm 52.
So you were coming in, and so I had met you before.
You wouldn't have met me. I was in the wardrobe.
All right.
But we have a lot of pressure going on in the wardrobe.
I'm sure.
Can you remember the
circus? Yeah, of course.
That's where we were. And girls would come in.
I do.
And we were like, it was mental. Oh my God.
Being a young boy, we just thought, oh my God.
It's happened to want to be near that office.
Do you want a cup of tea?
And then going to the wardrobe.
Did you know your appeal though? Did you know what you had?
No, not until I look back now.
But was you recognisable in the street?
I was, which I didn't like, because as you can see, I am not a glamorous type. I can turn it on if I want to, but half the time I'm just me, and you know, to be honest, I must admit, when I first started, obviously, I used to see all these Page Three girls, and my idea of a glamour model Page Three girl was they'd be in like boob tubes, mini dress, you know, walking along in a pair of white high heels and makeup and like, you know, and all that. But actually, when I first went up to Beverly Goodway in Page Three, and this was in Baldwin Gardens, down off of Grazing Road, if you should all know that. When I went up there, I see this girl, and her name was Corinne Muscle, Page Three girl, and I used to think she was beautiful, which she is. But she come out in a biker jacket and a pair of jeans. And I was like, that was my first sort of time of going up to see Beverly. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. God, she don't look very glamorous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But, you know,
you can't do it all the time.
No. Obviously, you're travelling on the tube or whatever you were doing, you know. So what we were saying is, I didn't realise, to be honest. And I've been looking back at pictures lately and just think, bloody hell.
Yeah.
God, I was.
But in them days, you know the Sun used to print touching 4 million copies. It's like 4 million. Now, newspapers, you know, people get media elsewhere.
Even.
But
that's
a phenomenal amount of people.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah. So obviously, I would get recognised. Sometimes people sort of look at me and think, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like in the cab. So I'll be going Caribbean, Seychelles, I'd be going like south of France, Portugal. Oh my God, not another trip to Portugal. Gordon Bennett, you know, I ring up age. Oh yes, Beverly's booked you for Portugal. Oh, not another one. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, now, I'm like, oh my God, bloody hell.
So you just a bit like being a top footballer. You're not quite realising what you're, yeah, how good you are. Yeah. You just
because you don't know.
You're riding along with it,
no,
yeah,
or you don't always appreciate it.
Yeah, no, no, yeah, no, you don't. You don't appreciate. You know, you don't. You know, insight and all that. Business,
when did the films and TV come about?
That came a bit later. I met Harry Enfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd done a thing called Gone to the Dogs, and funnily enough, because my surname is Ground, and this writer, and he always used to like me, and his surname's Ground with an S on the end.
Right.
So he ripped me into the script, and there was Jeff Hurst, there was a few footballers there, and I like to say, here comes Jeff Hurst, scored 2 goals and you didn't score any.
Right.
To Bobby Moore. Yeah, yeah. So that was and that's what he said, that's what you call a cliffhanger, darling, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I met Harry Enfield because he was in it, and then it went on from there, and then he ripped me into some of his scripts, Harry Enfield.
Yeah, is that through getting to know him personally, and he was like, oh, I'd like you to come back to,
yeah, because we had a laugh. Yeah, yeah, I used to really get
Paul
on with
Whitehouse
Harry
as well.
Yeah, it was just Harry at the time.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't the duo then.
Yeah.
And I just met Harry, and we really got on well, you know, he was a lovely bloke. And then he sort of got me to do a few of his little scripts, you know, a few of his little parts. And then I met Paul. So so it sort of worked out like that. And then I'd done the Fast Show, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
was brilliant.
The Fast Show.
So we done that, and then I'd done a few other little bits on TV, like Howl and Pace and Ben Elton, and you know, all the little comedy sketches.
If it had been a few years before, it would have been like the Benny Hill girls, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Charlie Drake's girls,
yeah.
People like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, sort of, yeah, like that. So it was, you know, it's like kind of sort of rolled aboard from there, and then I'd done a few other little bits and pieces, and then, shall we go on to that? And then I was at Hammersmith Apollo appearing live.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What was that? The Fast Show?
Yeah, while I was doing the Knowledge.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So my career was kind of ending, and I wasn't a Shakespeare actress, and I wasn't Barbara Windsor, and, you know, and I'm like, ah, what do I do now? Do you know, I left school and I didn't study, and like a few of us. So then I done my poetry, and then it was the TV, and then I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then my dad is a black cab driver. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, what do I do? And trying to think of, you know, I love photography, but, you know, that was like, if I'd done a course, you had to be at the school all the time and all that sort of thing. So I thought I'd do the Knowledge.
What sort of age are you now, Doug?
I was 30.
Okay.
No. I was younger than that. I was 27.
20, yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I got out when I was 30, the millennium.
And what two things do you think got you through the Knowledge?
Pee off, you. Don't you start, I tell you what. The amount of jib I had from blooming Knowledge boys saying, oh, yeah, you know what I mean?
We got a cab driver friend of ours who was on the show, he's a policeman, and he did the Knowledge in 8 days.
Oh, could
you beat
shut
that?
Up. Yeah. No, I can't beat that
he
one.
He had to prove himself.
No, well, I tell you what, that's probably why it took me so long, because I kept going up there proving myself.
How long did it take you, Doug?
Took me 3 years and 3 months.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Really good.
They but wanted to see more of you, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So how long have you been a cab driver?
21 years.
Oh, right. Similar to us.
Yeah.
How did you find the Knowledge?
Mr. Ullman and all that. How did I find Mr. Ullman? Yeah, first appearance. How did that? Right, so anyway, so I was doing the Fast Show. There's a story there.
Okay, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Hammersmith Apollo.
Live.
Live, 5 weeks. On my pizza delivery bike, weren't I? Driving, doing my flipping ones.
Yeah.
And then appearing live on the Fast Show. And so I'm driving around. I remember doing the one after an appearance there at the Fast Show. Right, I thought, right, I've got to do this run, and that'll take me home.
Yeah. She was doing that.
But it was the one in Erkenwald Street. Was it Acton? And it was like 11 o'clock of the night. And I'm like, what am I doing?
So you've just finished
the show. I've just finished the show, and I'm off on my little pizza bike, right? Because my air dryer had a faster bloody engine than my bike. Because, although, as I say, people thought I earned a lot, I didn't.
Yeah.
So I had a little £300 bike that I didn't
even
need to do.
These were Honda C90s, weren't they?
It was just one I didn't even need to do a bite test.
Yeah, it was just
a pull and go. You know, like.
How unreal like is that? You come off a stage at the Hammersmith Apollo and then you jump on your C90 to do a run.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think I've done 3 runs that night. So I would be doing my runs as well and then going to appear and then like getting there an hour early to call over and then appearing on their stage, yeah, everyone clapping me. And then people waiting at the door, I've got my crash helmet on and all that, and I, you know, to get autographs, and they just think I'm a pizza man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They didn't realise it was me, you know, going to do my runs. So that was, yeah. So, you know.
A really interesting time in your life, Dad.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like from one extreme to another.
Did that show just do the 5 weeks at Hammersmith, or did it do
it did. It just done, I think they went travelling, but I didn't go. I think that was a year later. But that was, who else was it? Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer. They'd done a show after the Far Show. So it was a Far Show and then that, like, continued onto that show as well. So, yeah, it was amazing, you know, the amount of, yeah.
Was that a well-paid job? Was that along the lines of a
Not great, no. I think I can't even remember. That
it wasn't
like
great,
20
was
odd
it?
Years ago. No.
So you passed remember. That around 2000?
Yeah, it was in October 2000. 2000, October 2000.
I passed. It's a wonder we didn't cross paths. I passed out, I think it was September 2000.
Yeah, right. 2001.
I bloody lost my old badge, so I'm a bit. I'm still on the sixes, but I can't remember
badge.
What I was.
Heartbreaking, isn't it? Losing your badge.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a formerly known as? Have you got one in
front of you? Oh, no, I haven't. I know. Do you know what I was going to write? Formerly known as 007 or something like that.
Funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's just, yeah.
Formerly known as Free.
Did you
just say you had all on your
first appearance.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that was. I mean, obviously, being a woman, I felt like I had to prove myself, being what I'd done as well. And I went up the knowledge school. So I started all my runs and then I was sort of calling over with a few people in Camden, just in a calf that I met, like, and I was just calling over with them. They was all boys. And then another girl that I met, we was calling over. But then I went to a knowledge school, which was KPM's. And, calling over and all that. Yeah, so my first appearance was Mr. Orms.
He slaughtered you?
Yeah. But I was surprised how well I'd done.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You took confidence from it.
Yeah, because although I didn't run the runs, I knew the points. And I think he was quite surprised. But I didn't know the points in that order. So, anyway, as we know, we're sitting there and we feel like we're in a cattle, you know, going to slaughter, don't you?
How did that feel then, right? The nerve-wracking of being on stage. Where does the knowledge rank in
that?
Oh,
a lot, that's a great question. Yeah.
What, worse?
It's a good question. A lot worse. Because when you're appearing, even like the funny thing is, when I was topless, I was very confident, and it wasn't me.
It was your job.
It was my job, and it wasn't me, and I bought my confidence. But sitting there, literally, I knew I was going to get Mr. Rome. Do you know what I mean? I probably bought it on myself. It's probably the antenna saying Mr. Rome, and I bought it on myself. But yeah, it's completely different because when I was doing my modelling, I was a different person. I weren't even in the zone of thinking who I was.
But it's also something you understood, whereas there's an element of not knowing what's going to happen.
That's right, yeah.
In an appearance, isn't it?
Yeah, so we were sitting there, and I ain't got my mini skirt on, and I ain't got my poop tube on. I've got my pinstripe striped trouser suit
on. That's why you
didn't
score.
Right? And my shirt done right up, so people didn't think, what's she up to?
Did you consciously think like that?
Yeah, seriously? I did, because people were going to think you got your points because of that, but obviously he didn't give me my points. But
that's why it took 3.5 years.
So sitting there, obviously, as you know, sitting there looking outside the blooming Penton Street and all that sweating and his missed ground. Okay, follow me. As he does, you know, and
that walk
bloody
does,
the
that,
long
that walk is,
yeah, and it's just like, oh, okay, then hand me a card, close the door, sit down in that order. And I'm like, fucking hell. And then you look at the parrot, don't you? And you think, what way is he facing? And then, it was just Jerry.
Was the parrot out or in? Was
in? It was in.
That's good news, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it was. I but
obviously
it was
not a wise tale, wasn't it, about the parrot? And I think he played on it, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did notice it, but I didn't notice what direction it was looking in.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been doing bloody cartwheels.
No, no, he's not before we started doing this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If he faced it outside.
I have actually met Mr. Warren, but he was well before my time.
Yeah.
He was legendary. He was scary, and he just played on it. He was unbelievable.
He was, yeah. But he asked me some points, and like, it was only because I used to do a market stall down Roman Road as well. So that was what. But he asked me a point, and I used to do Greenwich Market.
Oh, wow.
So he's asked me Dill's Gateway to Straightmer. And I knew them points. And I was like, because I used to park in Straightmer. And I remember Dill's Gateway. And then when he knew I'd done that, he just like slaughtered me. When I'd done that run, he literally just slaughtered me.
You weren't
me.
Scoring that day?
No, I weren't scoring that day. And then he asked me St. James's, which was a little road off of Deptford High Street, which was a tiny road to God knows where, I can't even remember. And then when he went St. James's and I couldn't remember it, I was like, oh, I don't know. He went, okay then. St. James's Gardens, or something like that, I can't remember. So he went, okay, so you don't know St. James's, name me all the clubs down Pall Mall in the down St. James's Street in the correct order. And I'm like, oh, what? And it was just, and that's, I just fell to pieces after that, you know, I don't know.
That's
you
a,
know,
that's
and
an
then he asked me,
Chisenau
School, or Chisenau Museum, because I didn't live far from Chisenau Road. Mm. I lived on the Roman Road, so. But that was just about, but I didn't know Chisenau Museum, right? He's asked me areas around mine, and he's asked me around Church, is it Churchill Crescent near Victoria Park?
It's a bit unfair to be tested on your resolve when it first
appears. First appearance. Yeah. And I'm like, really? But yeah, I knew that, and I just knew that.
Do you
that.
Think that first appearance then set you up for the rest? You was like, do you know what? It can't get no worse than that.
Yeah, yeah, and then obviously, and then when I went in, obviously I had other examiners, Mr. Bradburn, I don't know if you remembered him, and a few others, and like they give me appearances which are my first appearances. Do you know what I mean? Points that should have been my first appearances.
Yeah, police stations, proper points.
Yeah, and then like I scored all the way through.
Did you ever meet Orm again?
No, I see him on
the left once. About. He left about then, didn't he? He may have left during your knowledge life. But I once wondered if you.
No, I didn't. No, I think I see him in a cab once, and
I think he left that day. That he had...
Oh, probably. yeah.
You intimidated
him. Yeah, but the funny thing is, people obviously word got around, right, that I was doing Patreon and I was doing the knowledge. I'd done Patreon and I was doing the knowledge, but because my name was Ground, people didn't really.
Yeah.
Didn't and I weren't going in a boo tube and all that, so I weren't sure if they knew me or not.
Yeah.
Right. So. So when I got my rec, one of the examiners somehow got to know that it was me, and I gave him a picture, and apparently the picture was up for quite a while.
No way.
What was his name? I can't bloody remember his name now, but my picture was up on the wall. Obviously not a page three one.
You did appear in a page three on your bike.
I did. I think it was in the Star. Doing my knowledge and all that.
Oh, you were still doing page three when you were doing the knowledge?
No, but I was known as a page three
and
girl,
I remember the clip said it could take 18 months to do the knowledge. I'm sure they know the little bit.
Right.
A little bit long, and I thought, oh, that's quick.
Right, yeah. No, it took me 3 years, three months.
So instantly, you was thinking she was going up in a boob tube. Yeah, 18 months.
I'm about to doubt. What took you?
Well, I've got that all the time. Obviously, being at the knowledge school. Being in the knowledge school and all that, and I loved my mates, and I'm still friends. Well, I haven't spoke to some of them for a while. But, you know, and they weren't scoring. But they was out of a weekend. I weren't out of a weekend. I was on my bike. I used to work the Roman Road Thursday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
Every other day, I would be out on my bike. I'd be up in the morning, doing calling over 50 runs, going out on my bike from 10 till, say, 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, go out to the knowledge school, call over, go home. And if I was on an holiday, I would literally call over. You know, and
he was
so
very
people, yeah. So obviously because I'd done well.
Yeah, and but, you also had the extra part. Oh, listen, I'm not getting through anything other than artwork.
And it did, it kind of upset me sometimes because people did think, oh, you've only done it because you're a woman. Or, but, and obviously because of what I was as well, what I'd done before, it was hard. So I did feel like I needed to prove myself more because I got through on, and people go, bloody hell, that was an hard run or whatever, you know. So I did feel like I had to prove myself more because of that. But I wasn't
any pressure, to be honest. Yeah, like, it looks to me like the knowledge is pressure on its own. Add that to it, the other side to it. There's not many lady cab drivers, is there? Would you know the percentage?
I think
500. Just over 500.
Is that? No.
Yeah, 500 lady cab drivers. You wouldn't think so, would you?
I would have thought there was a lot more now, because I thought that...
No, last year, about just over 500. 550,
I thought that was about the same, because obviously I've got that question asked quite a lot, being a woman cab driver. And how many women cab drivers is there? That is like, you know...
We met some last week, didn't we? We met Lawrence Fox, who was doing he's touting to be the new mayor, and Sean invited some of the ladies along.
But we
was invisible to the girls, weren't we? Because they were just looking at Lawrence Fox.
Right.
They didn't meet us.
Is there a girl code amongst female cab drivers?
No.
I mean, to be honest, I was more friends with... I'm only friends with female cab driver that... friend cab drivers that I was friends with before the knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm not friends with any other girls. I was more friends with the blokes.
I mean, even 20 years ago was a different time. Mm. How was you treated by men cab drivers 20 years ago?
Different. I mean, I remember going to the, you know, down at Heathrow, and I felt like I walked into the cafe and I felt like I had three heads. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I was Cyclops because everyone was looking. No. It weren't them two things you were looking at. No, but yeah. That's funny. Yeah. But sometimes, I would get sort of, not dressed up, but I would sort of, you know, and I think, sod it, I'm going to walk in there. Like, sometimes I would have felt a bit intimidated, but no, I thought, right, I'm going to hold my head up and walk through and they look, whatever.
The cafe, so it is hard. That's intimidating.
Yeah, that is intimidating.
I think all of us walk in and think,
we don't
belong
here. Yeah, I know. That's one that stands that I remember the most,
but
and obviously.
You get shouted at a bit more.
Some of them, like, some blokes are fine, and then others, like, give me, you know, and I go, hi. Because some of them do still get the ump because it's a woman cab driver.
They do.
They still get the ump.
I
remember this bloke at Tottenham Court Road once. He looked and he shook his head in disgust. He went like that. And I went, hi. You know, and I really sort of was playing it up for him. Hello. And all that. And he just obviously got the ump more and drove
on. And what about your passengers? Do you get questioned every time?
As in what?
It's a lady cab.
Yeah, most of the time it is sort of, you know, I mean, I suppose you guys get, has it been out there and whatever, you know, you're going on holiday, but me, it's like, it's not many women cab drivers. Mm. And,
when's your driving test? You get that?
I didn't actually register what you said, but I don't really get. I mean, my boyfriend's a cab driver, and he's like, "Oh, this person had a go," but I don't really get that, and I think because they don't like to have a go at a woman.
Do
you?
I don't really, unless I'm a blinding cab driver and I go as straight as the crow flies and whatever and I miss all the traffic, do you know what I mean? But he's like, oh, somebody had a go at me, and I'm like, well, I have had sometimes, but not that much.
But do you earn more than him? Because I live with a lady cab driver, and she always came home with more money than I did.
Okay. Always. Well, he never tells me. It's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
Yeah, it's a terrible.
Let me give some
Do you know
advice?
What? It will tell me when he's had a bad day. He'll never tell me when it's been a good day.
No. Yeah. Let me give some advice to any knowledge boys out there. When you get out and your missus says, how was it? It was all right. Never better. That's it.
That's the true story.
And it must be nice you come home and neither of you want to talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I haven't worked for a year, but he's been out and all that. And he's, you know, he's got one of these Fandangos, electric cabs and all that.
Yeah,
so
he's one of the chaps.
Oh, it is a lovely cab.
We're looking after the environment.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, my cab went off the road and a year early than what I thought. And then obviously when I bought it, it was 15 years.
Sorry, Doug.
No. So when I, what was I saying? Right, so I had, because I've got my daughter now, she's 9 years of age, so I had her when I was quite old. And she was like IVF, five goes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so not that many men might be interested. But anyway, I used to drive past St. Bart's, and these little things called embryos were in St. Bart's in the freezer. So when I used to get a job, I used to think, my little embryos are in there. Not that you'd probably want to know about it, guys.
Did you go visit
her? Eh? No visiting times. No visiting times in the freezer. So she's my little... I say we got my daughter from Iceland because she was defrosted.
I know people have gone through that and how tough that is.
And she's a cockney because her embryos are in the sand of the hotel.
Yeah, exactly. Right, oh, man. She's a true cockney, isn't she? Yeah. Not like me, like the old, I'm a cockney.
Five times is quite a lot, isn't it?
It was.
That's an expensive
thing,
isn't it?
But saying expensive, the good thing, when I was in Bethnal Green, I had like three goes on the NHS.
Oh, that's
so good. I'm very grateful. And if it wasn't for the NHS, I wouldn't have my daughter because I wouldn't have been able to afford it.
Yeah, fantastic.
So, you know, I've got a...
Is that all that they allow?
Well, yeah, that was a lot. I mean, normally they allow one and it depends on, it's like the postcode lottery. If I lived here, I probably would have only had one. But at the time, I lived there. So
a lot that goes into it, you can't have failures on the record because it's all to do with funding. And,
So I was quite lucky. I was very lucky. Sometimes I say unlucky because she's so like me. She's a little cow. She's very mad. Well,
do you still enjoy cab driving, Don?
Pandemic
aside.
Yes, pandemic aside.
Do you think you'll get back
out there? Yeah, I will, yeah. But I've got my photography.
Yeah.
So I was doing okay with that. Before the pandemic, so it's just not, and that's why I actually done the knowledge, because I could sort of you know
absolutely, we touched on it so many times. Yeah. It's a great part time.
Yeah,
well.
Of course, it's and I did enjoy it.
Is there anything you're not going to miss?
Aye.
Anything you're not going to miss about cab driving, like when you get flagged down and then you're pulling across and the passenger decides to run out in the motor and he leaves you at a 45 degree angle.
I get that. Or you know when I just always check if the bus is behind me now, because you stop, don't you? But there's the bloody, put their hand out for a bus and you're sitting there and you think, my God, no, I didn't really stop you. I was just on the phone.
No, I had yesterday, and then went up, right? I know, believe it or not, I got a job. I pulled over they run out in the road and got in the other side.
No.
But that happens quite a lot.
Oh, my God.
Where's your brain
to do that?
I had someone open the passenger door and sit in the bin. They sat there on the floor. And I thought, do you really think that's where you've got to be? They just sat there.
We do get some of them.
One thing with these electric cabs, which your partner would tell you, is the light looks like it's always on. I had a passenger and he called me, I can't say the word, but he reminds me of banker.
Oh no.
Because I drove past him.
Oh God, bloody hell.
That's a desire for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's one thing they've got to change.
Yeah,
you're getting too much abuse.
Yeah.
My friend got howled in Old Compton Street and the man said, I just want to give you a kiss.
No, really?
Yeah, true story, yeah. So he said we had to charge him the flagpole.
I always fly for hire on Old Compton.
yeah, I bet you do.
Imagine that, I just want to give you a kiss.
I got pulled over once to give a review on Japanese restaurants. Honest, and then after it, she went, all right, thank you.
And that's terrible, isn't it? They don't realise, do they?
No. You ever been hailed and can you charge my phone? Charge your phone.
No.
I was hailed once and asked, where can I dock this Boris bike? I've got to tell you that, yeah.
Oh, I know.
I had one lady once, she flagged me down. She had a job interview, but she was 15 minutes early. She got me to drive around the block so she could do her makeup.
No, bloody hell. So his little makeup studio. Yeah, there you go.
I know it works out with
that. You go over a few speed bumps.
Right, it's been great chatting so far. Right, so at the end of all our sort of interviews, we play a little game Now, I'm not going to say...
You didn't tell me about this,
No, it's called Are You a Classy Cabbie?
Right.
Or Are You a Dirty Dog?
Oh, now, good, yeah. Right, so, I know what one I am.
So what we do is we'll ask you a series of questions right. and we like you to open them, answer them openly, honestly.
Yeah,
and
I will. It's just a bit I'm of always fun. Honest.
We know you're a classy lady, so we got no risk of you being the other. Right, so what we want to know, have you ever broomed a job from on point?
No. No. No, I haven't.
Have you ever done that thing when they come out and they only want to go a short distance and you get the ump and drive off?
No. I've had a few people do that to me. And there was one bloke at London Bridge and he's like made out that literally like his cab broke down.
Yeah.
Right? And I've looked in the rearview mirror and he's put his bonnet up and got a job and gone.
That's the worst.
You know, and I just think, I know there's obviously... But no, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I wouldn't.
That's a very good answer. Right. Do you talk on the phone with a passenger on board?
Not anymore. Not for the past year.
This has got to be a bigger problem with the ladies, aren't
yeah, it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean...
Have you ever done a fair where you weren't talking on the phone?
Oh, right. Get out of it. I'm Oh, so you're over there, right?
Oh, right. Have you ever kicked out a fair because you've seen a sale on at your favourite shop?
Oh, God.
That's a cracker.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, I haven't. I should lie, really, but no, I haven't.
Do you do that thing, you park, get there early, park up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course I do, especially at Christmas.
Do you ever go down New Bond Street?
Bloody hell.
Look at Anne Summers ago.
No, the Victoria's Secret, isn't it? It's funny how all the cab drivers stop at them lights. Yeah. You know, you've got the lights there and they've got all the videos there. I always see him there.
Yeah.
So where are you? Them lights at Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. I point out three times.
Yeah, yeah.
He painted the rank there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Have you ever turned up the radio to prevent a passenger talking to you?
They're can't laughing at me. Comments like that, Mark. He gets all embarrassed, doesn't he?
I love how he's brought his notes because he's really done a lot of prep for you. Look at me.
I watched every video.
Me and Sean, nothing. Look, we come here.
Yeah.
And it's all prepared. He wasn't interested in
listening. You're not a Virgo, are you?
He wasn't interested in you listening to you sing. Yeah. He just wanted to look at the pictures.
Yeah.
I'm going to take from this. The Germans.
I know. What? Roll out the barrel, I'd have been fine. Do you know what I mean?
Knees up, mother.
Roll out the barrel and all that. I'd have been fine. Run.
What? I think we skipped past it to get off the cab driving. We've had a lot of fun with that. What advice would you give to any young girls going into your former industry or into the cab industry?
Right, the former industry, get a reputable agency, make sure that every photo, especially now with all of the social media, every photo has got a watermark on it, so that you know where it's come from you or whatever photographer it is. Get a reputable agency. But to be honest, I'm not being funny, with social media now, everyone wants to be a star, right? Yeah. So everyone, I don't think there is any agencies that do glamour anymore.
It's a game changer,
because most people do it.
It's Instagram.
Walking down the street, do you know what I mean? So they don't, you know, I mean, it's only really fashion modelling, I suppose, but it's completely changed.
So your main advice would be go with a reputable agent?
Yeah. Go with a reputable agent. And if you're going to do any kind of glamour pictures, just make sure that the model release form is signed when you do it, and make sure you're over that age. Never get intimidated by anyone.
Yeah.
I was really intimidated, and that's not good.
You're too young, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm still young now.
Yeah, you are. And there's a question then. So what did you feel when they stopped page three? It was quite recent. You surprised?
Was I surprised? No, it's kind of moved with the times, really, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah, it was a bit slap joke, tickle and all that, you know, and all that.
Do you think it's a shame or do you think it's timely?
Because of social media, I think it's timely because it's there, any, it, you know.
If you want it.
Yeah, if you want it. So it's not going to, you know, I think it's just sort of moved with the times, really. It was a bit, yeah.
We were telling Gary there was a page seven fella.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a page seven fella. Didn't you know that? Oh, wow. There's this guy called John Huntley. He's lovely.
Yeah, we're hoping to
interview him. But he's not a cab driver.
Sean's been ringing him up for weeks.
Yeah, he's trying to get
the only way we could get Sean here today was to say there was a page seven fella.
So, well, my bloke thinks he's a bit of one anyway. So,
I could be page seven, eight, and nine.
No, he's all right, yeah.
But Gary didn't know.
All the notes he wrote down, he didn't have it on there. You wouldn't be able to pass that nowadays, would
you? No, I'd have to take
all
my equal
opportunities and all that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You think about you was buying a national newspaper, page three was a naked girl, page seven a naked man. Where was this man?
You ain't even got the news yet.
I know the news.
West Ham would have lost on the back page.
Yeah.
The Sun is not news.
No, it isn't. No, exactly. There's no news in there.
Freddie Starr at my hamster.
Oh, he was a
Nevertheless, all other newspapers wanted to be on the Sun, and he was very, as he was there, he just didn't like him.
When he got caught up in all this
no one ever saw the stars, he was like, very less, but because I wouldn't have it, he didn't like me because I wasn't
like that in that world.
Yeah, and I bloody worked with what's his name as well, that
What's his name?
The flipping one with the black hair.
No, Savile Row.
With the black hair. What's his name?
Fred West.
No, you don't. He was a singer in the 70s.
In the 70s.
And he Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter.
I had a job with him and he opened this sandwich shop down in
Blooming. You were too old for him,
but the thing is, he didn't like me either because I had my platforms on, right, and I was taller than him. Because I'm five foot nine and he didn't like me overpowering him.
Sandwich store just outside the school, didn't it?
Get out of it. Yeah, no, it's his sweet shop.
Are they his silver boots over there?
Piss off. I'm looking and all. No, that's my boyfriend.
We've got to wrap this up. Not Jimmy Savile. Not Gary Glitter. They're one of the same. Before we go, Don, is there anything you want about your photography, anything you want to tell people about that's going on?
Yeah, I've got a studio here in Hornchurch, which we have been using, but it's been closed down for a year. But I do lots of family photography. And if you want photographs for your children, family stuff.
I mean, here,
where can they find you?
In Hornchurch. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and it's called Cockney Rebel.
Cockney Rebel. Right. And I can say, we're in the studio now, and it's fantastic.
Well, it's very theatrical, isn't it? There's ball gowns and glittery stuff. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's great.
Yeah, but don't go home with them, will you?
No, I'll do my best.
I've seen one in your back pocket.
Yeah, I'll pop it into them. Anyway, you've been listening to Donna. We got two for the price of one there, didn't we?
He's on the phone. Very good.
If you fancy having a go, then get in touch. You can email us at newcabclass@gmail.com. I'm sitting here with a couple of page seven fellas. I'm really happy. Anyway, get in touch and have a good week. Till next week.
How was that, Tom? Brilliant. I had so much more to say.
Come on.